Welcome to the Sober Gay Sunday podcast, a podcast about being gay and sober and not just on Sundays. In this podcast, we'll explore the ins and outs of being queer and sober in a world where drinking and using is woven into the fabric of our culture. This season, we'll be hearing the stories of addiction and recovery from sober gays from all over the world. Every story of recovery is unique in its own way, and every story deserves to be heard. So let's go. In this episode, we welcome back Chris. Chris is originally from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. He now resides on the South Shore of Boston with his partner Mark and two rescue dogs. He identifies as bisexual and has never been happier in his sobriety. Please welcome Chris.
And eventually they got a hold of my partner. They gave me my phone call. I called him. I was like, I'm in, because he hadn't actually heard from me for a few days because I was at the sales conference. And I was like, I'm in Plymouth County Court. I need you to come pick me up. And he was like, you're not funny. And I was like, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And he was pissed. And again, like rightfully so. And he came to get me. They released me to him. And I remember driving home and I remember him being like, some things have got to change. And I remember like yelling at him, like this was his fault. Like that he... Like, I know, I've just been through, like, the ordeal of the century, like, you don't need to tell me anything I don't know, and I just was so, I've been so terrible to him through this addiction, but he's never left my side, like everybody else has. So, I woke up, I had to go to, like, arraignment court, and get my car back, or no, get my car from like a tow station to like a place that could fix it. So I took care of all that, and I like called out of work because this was like a Thursday too. It wasn't even like a Friday to maybe justify my drinking at all. I called out of work. I came up with a bunch of lies to tell my coworkers. That I hadn't been eating much and my blood sugar had been an issue and I had like passed out driving and stuff had happened. And so I refused the breathalyzer. So I got, they took my license away for 6 months. And I convinced them. I told my coworkers that this was like when gas was super high, like a year ago or two years ago for no reason at all for a while. And I was like, oh, well, me and Mark are trying to go on vacation. So I'm just gonna, we're carpooling to work now, even though we work like 20 minutes away from each other.
Oh, wow.
So we're gonna save money on gas and insurance. And So he like chauffeured me to work for like 6 months. And, you know, again, I think at first, like I was committed not to drink, but again, that fell away pretty quickly. And, at the place I was working, they had mouthwash in the bathroom. And, I don't know exactly how it happened, but, you know, I started chugging this mouthwash like all the time, like every day, you think they would have like eventually like stopped putting it in there, like because it did keep disappearing. Like I don't think they ever really found out it was me, but like it was literally always gone. Or like they would put a fresh bottle in and then the next day there'd be like nothing in there. And I just like didn't care. Alcohol had like put me in such a, like I didn't even care how, what it was, just get it into my system. And I would drink like over nothing. If I was having a bad day, I would drink. If I was having a great day, I would drink. If I was having a boring day, I would drink. To like, I used to think like, oh, drinking makes like boring days so fun. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like sometimes I would, on lunch, I would walk across the street and buy more nips because I can't drive. And always praying that they didn't like see me walking to like the liquor store. And And sometime once I did get my license back, I started to buy like mouthwash at CVS. Like I don't know why I was really even doing that anymore, because maybe because it was cheaper. I don't really, not that I have money problems really. Because you could get more of it. You could get like two handles for like $5.
Handle the mouthwash.
And to me, that seemed like a great idea. Like,
Right. Economical.
yeah, I'm trying to be, yeah. So it had gotten like to where I wasn't even just stealing mouthwash from work. I was actually buying my own mouthwash and hiding it. Oh, that like the smell too. I didn't want people to like smell like booze. So I'll just smell like mouthwash. That's much less alarming.
Yeah.
And I was just hiding it in my office, and I had a, like a an office where you could close the door, and I would close the door and just chug it, and it just got like so bad. It was happening every day, and I just it didn't matter anymore. Alcohol made it so nothing mattered to me. And so as part of so I did get like a DUI charge with that last drunken driving incident, and I pled with the judge. I just it kind of accepted my fate, and let them give me like a year's worth of probation, another like 30 days without my license and a drunk driving class and a bunch of like money owed. And I was kind of like resolved to like accept my punishment, because I knew I had done wrong. And again, I could have like hurt somebody or killed myself, or so I was like determined to take my punishment on the chin. And this got me to drunk driving class, which was not super effective for me. I don't really think those classes do anything. If you are a real addict, I think you the last thing that's gonna make you not be an addict is like being told, like, I don't know. They didn't work for me, and I think they have a very low statistical success rating in general. So I was going to this online, it was online drunk driving class, and as part of that though, something they did so, well, mandate was that I had to go to two AA sessions and get paperwork signed. I had never been to AA before. Everybody knows about AA in like the modern world with like TV and shows like Mom, and just like, I mean, it's not so anonymous anymore. One of the guys in the in my drunk driving class was an older gentleman, and he was like, if you really want to go to an AA meeting, just a suggestion for anyone, like if you really want to go to an AA meeting that has some real power and like has some really good people there, go to the early bird meeting, gratitude meeting in Kingston at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. The energy in the room is just unbelievable, and it'll change your life. And I could have gone anywhere to like these meetings, but I took his suggestion. Like I had kind of said, I kind of wanted to feel bad. I kind of wanted to walk into AA and have them yell at me and feel bad about what I had done. So I did end up going to that, and that was February 11th, 2023 was that meeting, my first meeting. And just since then, I have not picked up a drink since then. I walked in and just like my heart shattered. Everybody was so in such a good mood. I didn't talk to anybody. I just kind of like stared at the floor and cried. I remember the chair guy telling this story about him and his wife, and how he'd been just such an asshole to her for like their entire marriage because of his drinking. And it just like shattered me, because that was me. Like I had been doing the same thing to Mark and like all my friends, for the last decade and a half, and it just broke me. I surrendered like right then to the program. I definitely didn't want to go to that first meeting, and I'm not sure if I wanted to go to that second meeting, but I did want to go to that third meeting. Once the paperwork stopped being mandatory, I did decide to keep going. And I haven't picked up a drink since. For the first 2 months, I just sat. I only came on Saturdays. I didn't do 90 and 90 like they do suggest. I just sat, and I sat up front because, again, I like wanted to get the message. And I just like bawled my eyes out. And because I could see myself in like everybody's story, how right away I didn't compare with anyone. I like recognized the struggle in everybody. And it was like my struggle too. And that was huge for me. Because I used to think like AA had been suggested to me before, but I never thought like anything good would come of one drunk talking to another.
Yeah.
I assumed they would just tell me like, you have to stop drinking, and me being like, yeah, I've kind of got that part down.
That's pretty clear.
But how?
Right.
And the first male that came up to me, I wanted nothing to do with. He had no teeth. He was wearing like sweatpants. I always get dressed up to go out. He was older. He looked like lower class, and I wanted nothing to do with him. I was like sobbing too much, but that was a huge lesson for me in early AA. Was just, we are all like you know, from Yale or jail, white, black, Mi'kmaq, Indian, Republican, Democrat. Like when you get into that room, you are all the same.
Yeah.
Everybody there is so much more alike than they are different. And they're really the only people that have ever really, I feel like, understand me completely, like every part of my personality. You know, for so long, I tried to talk to my partner, Mark, about my addiction, and it just didn't work because he's not an addict. He doesn't suffer from these problems. And, he'd be like, stop drinking. And I'd tell him I would. And, you know, just didn't understand. So, I mean, that was on me. I should have figured. They've understood me so much better than I even understand myself sometimes. And, you know, just through the program and through putting down the drink, so much has changed. So much is better today than it ever has been. You know, I remember one of my early prayers in AA was, God, just send me like one friend that I can have. Because my drinking had left me so alone and isolated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by the end there, I didn't have like a friend in the world. And now I feel like I have halls of friends and supporters who just want to see me do well and want nothing in return for it. Mm-hmm. Want to see me succeed. And that's been huge for me. Someone who, like, you know, 13 months ago didn't have any friends. I now like text more people a day than I used to in a year. And they've taught me like how to handle life on life's terms, which I've never been good at. Like as soon as I disagreed with life, I would set out to change it. And I don't have to do that anymore. I can just kind of live and let the world happen around me. And I can't do anything about the way the world works sometimes, but I can control the way I react to the world. Mm-hmm. And that's been huge. I really can't say enough about AA. Like, I really never wanted to give it a shot because I didn't want to stop drinking. But once I came to the conclusion that that's had to happen, and I put the drink down, like, Everything has just gotten so much better. I celebrated 1 year of sobriety on the 10th of February this month. That was awesome. I spoke at that meeting, the first meeting I'd ever been to. I have made friends with that gentleman from my drunk driving class. We actually like met in person, and he's been huge for me. That gentleman with the no teeth that came up to me, that I talk to him, I text him every single morning. It feels so much better to live this way. I don't have to be ashamed of, I always didn't want to lose face, I think. And that's what kept me like away from detoxes. I never would let anyone in on the big secret that I was drinking. Near the end, I think I got more out of like the sneaking around than I did the actual drinking, because drinking hasn't been fun for me for like over a decade. Yeah. It's just been like kind of like what it just has kind of become customary to my life. And I have been through this last year. I've been able to make so many friends. I've been to sober dances. I've been on a sober cruise. I went to a sober pig roast,
wow, which is
awesome because I love to eat. I've been able to make some gay AA friends, queer friends, I should maybe say. And I went to P-Town with one of them to Carnival last year, which was crazy. Something I would have done while drinking because I was too afraid of crowds. And I've been able to speak at detoxes, and life has just become so much more fulfilling today than it ever has been for me. And I mentioned earlier, February is such a bleak, depressing month. Right. My birthday's in February and my sober date's in February. So I feel like God gave me a couple extra reasons to like February. God has been huge in my recovery. My higher power, who I do choose to call God, has been absolutely critical to my recovery. Surrendering my will to him, I think, is just the third step, has been giant in my recovery. Just admitting that I'm not the CEO of the universe, like I'm not doing a very good job at it anyway. So you can take it over and you can call the shots and I'll just deal.
Right. I get it.
And that all being said, there's been some, life, sober life isn't always great either. There's life happens. And the job where I was going to the sales training, they actually let me go in October of last year. Funnily enough, after I got sober, they were apparently completely fine with the drunk me that sat in my office and never made a sound. But what they hated was the sober me who was like, some of these processes are outdated or antiquated, and sometimes it's best just not interrupt the status quo. So they did end up letting me go. And that was tough. And that would have before like set me down such a spiral of like, that just represents failure to me. And that would have been like the biggest failure. But right away I was like, this is something God ordained. Like, this is in God's plan. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wanted out of there anyway. I had plans to kind of leave. So that was just him pulling the trigger before I could.
Right.
And, that worked out fine. I collected unemployment for a while, and I have since found like new work. So it all worked out fine. And it happened in such a way that I got to spend my 3 months leading up to my 1 year anniversary of being sober, going to like extra meetings. So that was awesome. Totally probably needed. And I got to do a bunch more exercise, which is huge in my life. And And like other things aren't always good in sobriety either. My first sponsor that I ever had, I kind of wanted to touch on this. When I first came into the program, I decided I wanted to get like a sponsor just like me, as close to me as I could find. So I really wanted him to be a queer person as well. And I did find one, and that ended up not being so great for me, because he tried to 13 step me like through our entire relationship. He tried to like get in my pants the entire time. And I kind of let it go on too long. I never like let him, but I would kind of brush it off or make it not such a big thing, but it was a big thing. And like him doing it, I realized, made me feel like very small.
Yeah.
And it like it's completely inappropriate for someone in that position of power to make advances like that and try to take advantage of the newcomer like that. And so that happened to me, but I don't hold any ill will against this man. Today I pray for him, because some of us are sicker than others, and we're not all sick at the same time in the same degree. So I pray for him. I've got a new sponsor. He's super smart. We're able to have like these high level, awesome conversations, and he's working out great. So I just wanted to touch on that not everybody in AA is a saint. If you're new to AA or new to like being sober, and trying to find a sponsor, maybe it doesn't have to be someone like you. In fact, maybe sometimes it should be somebody a little different from you, so they have different ideas and different perspectives. And
awesome. Very cool. So now that you are, now that the, you know, the barrier of alcohol is out of your way, what's in your future? What are some plans you're making for yourself?
Yeah, I honestly, it's never seemed so bright. I've actually been considering going back to, so I always wanted to be a doctor, and I'm thinking about going back to school to become a nurse, to maybe like help other people in suffering from addiction, possibly like, or my sponsor even mentioned this to me. He was like, have you ever considered going back to school and becoming a doctor? And I was like, I hadn't, because I kind of had thought that window had closed, but I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like the world is like completely open to me. So yeah, maybe some of those. Me and my partner are taking a cruise in a couple months. I'm so excited for that. We've never been on like a real vacation. And there's gonna be booze all over the place, and I'm not gonna drink, God willing, and it's gonna be great.
Awesome. It's fantastic. So what's one piece of advice you would give to a newly sober person now that you have a year under your belt?
Yeah, I would just say, reach out, like tell somebody what's going on. For me, that I think was my biggest thing, is I never wanted anyone else to know. I wanted to save face. I wanted to seem like the perfect person. I didn't want to seem like I had a problem, and that kept me from telling people what was really going on and seeking help. And I would just say, like, let someone in on the secret, let them help you, like, and accept their help. I'm a huge advocate of AA. AA has like changed my life. And I never thought it would. I very much thought I was a hopeless case, and that they weren't going to be able to help me, but they have understood me more than I have ever understood myself. And also just be gentle with yourself. Like, I know I came into the program with a ton of ill will about my, like a lot of low feelings about myself, but just give yourself a chance. Like, they'll teach you how to forgive yourself and how to love yourself. And that's huge.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's good advice. One thing that I experience, because I'm so open online about sobriety, is a lot of people will ask me about how to deal with people in their lives that are currently in active addiction. So if you could give a piece of advice to someone who has a loved one that's currently in active addiction, what would it be?
I had thought about this one. First thing I would tell them is to understand that, their addiction has nothing to do with you. I think a lot of people immediately think like, you know, if they loved me more, they would put down, they would stop using, or, you know, maybe I've done something to encourage their use. You know, their addiction really is everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. Like, you could be the perfect person, and addiction will find those people and work its mayhem anyway. So I would just say, be gentle with yourself. Understand that it really is nothing that you're doing or not doing.
Yeah.
And then I would encourage them to also like reach out. There's Al-Anon meetings across the United States. I'm sure they have virtual ones. I've never been to an Al-Anon meeting because I am an alcoholic. I'm an actual addict. But I've heard like really great things about people who have told me about them. And you know, they can help you understand too, that like, this isn't your fault. This is not anything you're doing. And then they can give you ideas about how to help that person in addiction, you know? And I would just say, like, lastly, if they never put down, or if they just like refuse to stop using, like, that's not on you either. Like,
yeah,
they'll just, addiction does like terrible things to really good people. And you know, you have, that person with the addiction has to be ready to give it up. And until that happens, like, there's very little that can be done.
Yeah.
So just be easy with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of family members will just take it on that it's their fault in some way, and really can't. The addict has to be ready, have to be ready. I run an organization here in Boston called Sober Gay Sunday, which is an events group. We do things like paint night and yoga and rock climbing and all these kind of cool, fun things around the city a handful of times throughout the year. So if you could pick one Sober Gay Sunday event to do, like, there's no restriction of money or anything like that, what would it be?
Did I hear you guys did archery once? Like,
we, oh my God, we did. So soft arrow archery, so essentially like dodgeball with bows and arrows.
Oh, okay.
It was,
I thought I thought it was like, I used to be a deadeye, like, shot with archery, like at 3D targets with like a real compound bow. You know, honestly, I've thought about this one. I spent so much of my 16 years using in complete isolation in tiny rooms by myself. I think it would be so fun to just like have some big ball or like party where like all the sober people come and we just like dance and like forget that we like, and just have a great time without any kind of substances, or like, you know, just meet other people. Now that I'm like sober, I just want to experience everything.
Yeah.
And meet everybody.
Great idea. Keep your calendar open for June, because I'm jumping on a call after this to get together with the Phoenix, which is a sober gym in Boston.
The Phoenix does sorry to interrupt you. The Phoenix does a CrossFit program that I got into because I love the Phoenix program.
You know Alex? Have you taken class with Alex yet?
So mine is in like the Kingston area. Oh, okay. I haven't gone into too many of the Boston ones.
Okay. Very cool. But me and Alex are actually, who's part of the Boston Phoenix, we're jumping on a call after you. We're doing a Pride block party for all like this.
I would love it.
So that is coming in June. So mark your calendars. This is exactly what you're looking for. So yes. Now that we're kind of wrapping things up, where can people find you on social media if they want to connect and reach out?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on Facebook, Insta, my OnlyFans, and Twitter, kind of private. But I think my backslash is CMBELAIR8 for my Facebook and my Insta. Like, I would welcome like any new friends.
Excellent. Excellent. And that stuff will be in the show notes too. So any links will be you can find down there. So thank you so much for doing this. It's been really amazing. I really look forward to seeing you at a future Sober Gay Sunday event for sure. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'll be there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
Thank you for tuning into the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. Please feel free to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Sober Gay Sunday. You can also email me directly at SoberGaySunday@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay sober, guys. I'm so sick of small talk, tell me something, jaw-dropping.